One Man Revolution, Volume 3, Episode 4. Greetings, everybody. I am your revolutionary. I'm joined here, of course, by...
the comrade. And may I say, I apologize for interrupting, but holy crap, what a week.
It has been a big week. A huge week this week. I mean, you could say it would be a tremendous week.
Oh. I feel like that's become a dirty word.
It almost has been. Huge, tremendous, greatest.
China.
No, that's China. China. It's a country like Mexico. All right, so of course we are joining you here Friday night, and for those of you on Facebook, we are live, so congratulations for joining us here. We will always try and announce on the One Man Revolution page, OMR Podcast on Facebook, when we are having a live broadcast via Facebook. So thank you guys for showing up. We hit a milestone this week. We hit like 50.
We're actually at 52 now, 52 Ooh. Followers on the page. Thank you guys so much for that support. It's a lot of fun, and it's really great to see the community get involved. We're getting a lot of good feedback.
Yeah.
Keep it up. I appreciate it.
And like and share the page. If you like what you hear, if you like what you see, if you like all the articles that keep coming by in your newsfeed that we keep posting, please let us know and even send us information like we just had right before the show started. We had someone send us some information that we get to go and research now and see what's going on with that. So we have that. And please spread the word, because the best thing that can happen is that this gets larger and larger. We've got a reach right now of over 3,000, in just a few short weeks. So that's working out pretty well. And our interactions are getting better and better and better. Some of our articles have gone like 700, 800, 900 views on them.
Yeah, I'm totally blown away by the reach. And I have to say, we do a lot of checking. We do a lot of reading. We can't keep up with everything. If you guys see something that we haven't posted, if you want to hear about it, if you just want other people to know, put it on the page. We'll be sharing it. We'll get it out there.
Yeah.
I want as close to real transparency as we can have with this administration, and it's going to be a struggle.
And the only way to do it is to make sure that we as a people do all of the fact-checking. And regardless of what our facts are versus your facts, we just need to do some of the fact-checking and get it out there. I mean, there are basically three groups of people right now that we have to deal with who are supporters of the president. I'm a supporter of the president. He is the president. So anyone who's been out there saying, hey, man, get over it. He won. He's the president. I understand he's the president. And he is now a public servant. And he is our public servant. So therefore, he has to be answerable to the American people.
And that accountability, I feel like, is something that he doesn't really grasp in the concept of the office. He
grabbing. He doesn't grab
it. You had to grab the
responsibility. Grab the responsibility.
Responsibilities
that's
of
there
the
it
office.
Is. Absolutely.
And it's really crazy to me that we have aides from the White House reporting that he's complaining that he's not getting as much celebration from his win as he'd hoped to get.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, if not everyone's celebrating, but, you know, we'll look into the number of people that actually voted for you, because we know that, obviously.
We estimated it at, what, 23% of the population?
It was. Yeah, that's why there's not this public outcry.
I mean, they all showed up to the inauguration.
Well, I was told that the reason why no one was at the inauguration is because the president's people, his supporters, were working. And the reason why the previous administration...
You mean on the Saturday?
No, on the Friday. On the Friday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that there were people working, and therefore they were not there because they were at work. Yeah, and that's why, you know, all of those people that came to the previous administration's inauguration were there because, of course, none of those people work, and they were waiting for their free phones and free handouts.
That's right, of course.
And that's the reason why.
It had nothing to do with the monumental consequence of electing our first black president.
No, that's true.
Consequence is the wrong word.
No, no.
Accomplishment. I apologize. Yeah, accomplishment. Okay. The monumental accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah. That of having someone elected who was of a different race.
Not a rich white old man.
Yeah, it wasn't a rich old white man, but that's what we have now. So there are basically three types of people that we have to deal with right now, okay, who are his supporters, and that's the 23% approximately that elected him. That would be the zealots.
Nobody believes harder in anything than the convert. So yeah. It's a lost cause.
It's like fighting religion. You cannot fight someone's religion. You can point out, well, no, it's not that way. It's like, no, I believe it is that way. So therefore, you're wrong.
I believe these facts.
Yes. I believe the facts that are placed in front of me. Not the ones that you're giving me, but the ones that have been placed in front of me.
It's like when people used to question your belief in global warming.
Oh, boy.
A science is a science. A fact is a fact. What is... When you get punched in the face, it doesn't matter if your eyes are closed or open, or if you're looking at the Pepe Le Frog, or if you're looking at the person punching you, you're going to feel it.
One of the two so far that are caught on film. And we have an argument about that, actually. I say that every Nazi out there should be punched in the face. And the comrade has a different feeling that it's violence.
So to be clear, I have been giggling incessantly at all the various remixes of that video. They are wonderful, and they make me feel warm and bubbly inside. But now we've made a martyr of this horrible human being, and I feel it's far more important to not even give them the time of day, much less bother to record them and broadcast that on Facebook or put it up on YouTube. Every view, regardless of the source, gives them more influence. Every time you do something like this, you give them more say, and you give them that victim complex that makes them feel like their views are actually justified. You got to be the better person.
Well, my opinion is the more sunlight you place on a problem, the more that's in the sunshine, the more disinfecting it is. So if you get these people out there and they're getting massive exposure for being,
horrible,
horrible white supremacists. Eventually they will either go back underground where they belong.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I'm like, my view, I think we'd end up, they'd just be back underground or like what you're saying, you're getting at is everybody would know who they are.
Yeah. At least, you know who they are.
In the day of Facebook, you can't hide. If you're out in public, you're going to have a name and
you're going to end up live.
You're probably going to end up getting fired.
Yeah.
Or eventually ostracized publicly. And you have to move to Russia where they accept these things.
And so those people are zealots.
Yes.
The white supremacist zealots, the people who voted and say that, hey, he's my man. He's going to be my man forever. No matter what he does, it's right. It's right for this country. I'm like, okay, cool. Those are the zealots. Now, the second group.
These are the fun ones.
These are the fun ones. These are the whiffums. What's in it for me? Okay, the what's in it for me people.
So these people, I'm a fan of this particular viewpoint because basically they're the simplest of the supporters. They are people without morals. They are people without consideration for humanity. And, that's fine. I'm not judging them for that. But whenever something that happens benefits either them personally or their business
or their sector
or their lobbying group, then it's okay. And the moment it goes bad, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Which means they're not a concrete supporter of the president. They're somebody who could very quickly become a huge detractor.
Yeah.
Very quickly. That's one of those ticking time bomb kind of groups. But for right now, they're absolutely in his court. I mean, the Dow just went up over 20,000, which a lot of people are feeling good about. And a lot of people are going, meh. Because it's just been a continuous climb for the past year.
I've talked to people, and my favorite one is when people say the words, hey, the Dow isn't really a good indication of the health of the economy.
I mean, it never really has been, but a lot of people like to use their divining methods, whatever it may be. If rain falls off my roof on the east, it's a good time to invest. Like,
correct.
Do what you will. It still is at least an indicator that people have faith in the economy, which is almost as powerful as the economy actually working well.
Right.
So
right.
Those people, I still stand by, they are a ticking time bomb, and it remains to be seen what will happen.
So we have the zealots. We've got the whiffums, the what's in it for me. And then we have that third group, the group of people that can't back away from their decision to have backed Trump in the first place. These are the regretters.
No refunds.
So I regret my decision for voting for the president, but I am sticking by it because I can't be wrong.
Which is, it's treading a dangerous line with the first group, but the difference being those people might actually have a sense about themselves to listen to an alternative standpoint. Alternative facts, you might even say.
Really? Facts that are alternative to the other reality? So the facts versus what the narrative is? That's a ridiculous idea.
What a novel concept to have to have a narrative be fact-checked.
Weird. Yeah.
So those people, I feel like, are the middle ground. So those are the independents that didn't have a Bernie Sanders to vote for. They didn't want...
They didn't want to vote for Johnson. They didn't want to vote for...
Or your corporate Democrat, which is actually another topic that I kind of wanted to get into. I didn't have enough chance to do research on it this week. But your corporate Democrats are basically just another symptom of a ingrained process with no real change.
Right.
So they just they had to vote for somebody that wasn't part of that process, and Donald Trump was that man.
Right. And they wanted to sit, and now they are sitting there and they're like, "Ooh. It's been a week. He's doing things." But that's the other thing. He's fulfilling his promises to that 23% that voted for him.
One executive order at a time.
One order at a time. Of course. Well, I mean, Congress takes time. Executive orders, they're immediate.
Allegedly.
Well, they are. I mean, they have no... The only thing they have is the power to say, you have to basically make this happen if you possibly can find a way of funding it, make it work.
Right. So I'm glad we touched on the executive orders, because I've got a list of the five that he has so far enacted.
Woo! A list.
A list.
Everyone likes lists. Everyone likes lists.
So my personal favorite kind of little game to play with this podcast is to change the sources of all of my information.
Ooh.
So you can't claim liberal media bias.
Well, they can't. People you can still always claim that. The zealots will always claim liberal media
bias. But BillO'Reilly.com is not a valid source of information. So stop it. So this particular list actually comes directly from the Fox News website. Just to kind of go over quickly, one of the first ones was border control measures. There's a lot of different things he did there. Part of it was hiring 5,000 more border patrol agents. They're going to strip federal grant money to sanctuary cities.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to end the catch and release policies for illegal border crossers.
Right.
And then they're going to reinstate local and state immigration enforcement partnerships. So basically just doubling down on giving the people who have the authority to enforce our borders the actual ability to do so.
Well, you know, the head of border control quit today.
Like the rest of the head of this, the
like
state
the rest
staff.
Of the State Department staff. But that's the thing. So this executive order went in, and the individual who was in control of that decided, you know what, I'm out. And he just quit.
So you can see it as one of two ways. That's an amazing form of protest, and I applaud this person for the bravery of doing it. But at the same time, this now gives Donald Trump the ability to hire somebody that is more amenable to his views on the issue. So give and take. So the next one, and this one gets under the skin of a lot of people, and it's totally fair that it does. He signed a combination of basically five different orders in regards to the Keystone and Dakota Access pipelines.
Okay.
He's going to expedite the environmental permitting process for these infrastructure projects, basically fast-tracking things so we don't have as much time to do the full environmental impact studies we need to
do. Well, let's not say it that way. He has short-circuited it by saying that anything that goes through the EPA has to go through the executive branch's offices first. And that way they can make their decision on how to go forward with it instead of the EPA slowing it down.
Right.
They can ignore what the EPA has to say.
Well,
if they choose.
The EPA has basically been crippled anyways already.
Yeah. Well, these things happen. So the Keystone Pipeline is a big sticking point for me. I have good friends that work up in Edmonton, work for oil companies in the north. And this pipeline is a connection directly back to back to them. And I have nothing wrong with the idea of them making a living. I think that they should be, they should have a lot of, that they should be able to do what they do and have their career choice. But your current prime minister, Mr. Trudeau, also said that right now it is not economically feasible to do it.
Hmm.
Now, you all outcried and said he's a moron. That's my personal favorite, saying that he doesn't understand being where he is, the plight of the folks that in the West. So and there's always two sides, three sides, five sides to a story in all of these things. So I totally understand that.
And it's not just our neighbors to the north. It's also the coal cities. It's the oil production fields in the Dakotas.
Yeah.
The whole region is getting ruined economically by green initiatives, which is kind of it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
I love green initiatives. I think that it's horribly naive that people think we cannot use fossil fuels. The plastics that make half of the things you use every day come from oil.
Yeah, they
do.
We
need it. It's not possible to get rid of it.
Right.
But we can change how we use it, and we can be more responsible in our use of it and transport of it.
Yeah, we can stretch it out. Right. I mean, the transport of it is an important thing. I mean, a day or two after the announcement of this signing of the Keystone Pipeline in Iowa, there's a huge spill of like 147,000 gallons of
diesel fuel
that broke out of exactly what the type of pipeline we're talking about. Now, that's part of our crumbling infrastructure.
Which is an entirely different
issue.
That's
a totally different thing.
That's something I want to get into at another point.
Yeah, another point we'll talk about our crumbling infrastructure. Even Bernie Sanders said, yes, we need to reinvest in America. Actually, we could put everybody back to work.
We could.
If we could just fix our bridges and roads and
the state of Florida has 200 bridges that are not up to structural integrity.
Yeah, they absolutely need
200.
To be fixed. Yeah, that's a lot of them. Yeah.
The whole state's covered in lakes.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of bridges. Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Infrastructure later.
Yeah. We'll come back to that. But the pipeline, another reason people got up in arms about it is because up until a very short time ago, the president had stock in multiple companies that were involved with this pipeline. Now, a lot of people have sent fact-checking things saying that he has sold his stock. Well, we really don't know if he sold it or not, because he hasn't still not opened up his taxes. So we still don't know if he's actually divested that. But even if he divested it, who did he divest it to?
That would be his immediate family.
He could have divested all of that stock to his immediate family, who are still in control of the portfolio.
His entire portfolio.
So, you know, so it still benefits him and his family if he puts this pipeline through.
As a quick aside, I like the fact that he made a promise to donate all of the profits from his company, international profits, to the Treasury.
Yeah.
When allegedly he's not the one in control of these things.
Correct.
So he's committed an action to his company that he's allegedly not in control.
Yeah. So how can you make that statement if you're still not in control? According to multiple sources that I have read through, he's still in Florida, Delaware, Texas. He still has not signed any paperwork signing over his companies.
No.
And getting it out of his own name.
And each state is regulated differently. I mean, he did have that giant stack of blank paper.
Well, it was a giant stack of blank paper out of one Office Depot in Washington, D.C. made so much money that day. They walked in and gave us two boxes of paper and three boxes of manila folders. And we won't write anything on anything. And you know what would be funny? If they returned them.
Oh my.
Wouldn't that be funny if they returned all that stuff?
I mean, people do claim that Trump is a savvy businessman.
He is very savvy. That would be savvy.
He might have returned it.
Or he probably just took it into the Oval Office, and they'll probably use it during the next 4 years.
That would be smart as well.
2 years, 18 months.
So to get back to the executive orders.
Yes. So so first one was
border control measures.
Was that the wall?
No.
Okay.
Actually, that was not the wall.
Okay. So it was just border control measures.
Yeah, that was the border control measures themselves.
Right. Okay.
I'm sorry. No, that was the wall.
Oh, that was the wall.
The authorization of the investigation to the...
I know. Don't you love that? Yeah, the authorization to investigate building a wall.
Right.
Not the actual building of a wall. I want people out there who are the zealots to really listen to those words. You're not hearing me. Let's go to the people. What's in it for you? Hold on. You guys have construction jobs. How about you little group that might have regrets? Hey, regretters. How are you? I'm talking to you right now. This guy is investigating, not building it. He's not like sending trucks out to build it right now. They're investigating how to build the wall. It's a 2,000-mile wall. People,
we have cost estimates on this, and we'll get back to them.
Yeah,
I have those numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
I just just to kind of keep it to the executive orders.
Okay, next.
This one's a big one. The reinstatement of the Mexico City policy, which is a ban on federal funds to international groups that perform abortions or lobby to legalize or promote abortions themselves. So this is a fun one for all of the women's health.
Stumbled
on the words here.
Women's issues.
Yeah, basically women's health issues in general. Yeah, this is a very, very big issue.
Yeah.
Taking away any access to affordable care when you might be in a position where either you can't afford it or you're just stuck and your doctor won't help you.
But this is foreign, and this is a shuttlecock that is knocked back over the net every administration.
Right.
So Reagan knocked it one way. Clinton knocked it back. Bush knocked it back. And then Obama knocked it back the other way.
And Trump sent it back.
And so Trump is sending it back to saying, we're not going to fund international, what are those, NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that support abortion.
Ironically, Norway and I believe 20 other countries or so have all promised $600 million in funding to those same organizations.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Norway. You know, Norway has more oil than the Saudis, I think. I think it's a number in there.
It's just too cold.
No, they have huge things where they just pump it out. They're, you know, from what I've heard, the folks from Norway, hey, in Norway, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, we'll do it right from Oslo. I have no problem doing it from Oslo. I have an active passport.
I would travel.
Yeah, we'll do it from Oslo. And we could do it from there. And so you guys, we have no problems with you. The rest of the Scandinavian countries do. All right, so.
Next one. And this one's just kind of a quick little thing. Mixed reactions all the way around. We have withdrawn from our agreements to join the TPP trade agreement.
Right.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Correct.
I personally am a huge fan of it because there was a lot of technological aspects to the agreement that I was not okay with.
Yeah.
It's a complicated thing. These things always are. It's similar to NAFTA, to my understanding, mm-hmm. but with the Pacific states instead.
Right.
So there's a lot of factors involved. The biggest one being your Honda will not be cheaper.
When Bernie Sanders says it was good for the TPP to be taken apart, I think we're okay.
I think we're on the right track
there. So for those of us that were on the are on the progressive side who supported Bernie Sanders, Bernie came out as soon as the president signed that executive order and said, this is actually a good thing. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah. So small applause there.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one, and all of this, by the way, has happened within 1 week, 7 days.
Right.
This last one here is really fun. Mm. This is a hiring freeze on almost all federal agencies, excluding military ones.
Right.
The text directly reads, quote, "The head of any executive department or agency may exempt from the hiring freeze any positions that it deems necessary to meet national security or public safety responsibilities where those exemptions are otherwise necessary."
Yeah.
So
necessary.
Basically what's happened now is for every two people that quit a federal agency, only one new person is allowed to be hired unless the president deems or his executive office deems it's necessary to hire new people. It's not nepotism, but it's damn close.
It is. It really is. And so what ends up happening is, especially when something like just happened with the State Department, there was a massive walkout of executives.
All the
State
senior
Department,
staff.
All the
Importantly,
senior staff.
It's all the people who know how to run the place.
Yeah. They said, okay, well, you're bringing this guy in. We're out. We're done. You are bringing someone in. And this is not like the people that resigned from all the ambassadors. This is not some type of, you know, liberal bias saying that, you know, that no one's going to support Trump. No, these are people that they already had their jobs.
And to be fair, this is also not part of your normal transition process.
Correct.
These are people who typically branch many administrations, and they decided, and interestingly enough, the senior head of the State Department was planning on staying as far as everyone knew as of Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then yesterday was like peace.
Yep.
So nobody saw that coming. Nobody was ready for it. And now this they're already having a hard time filling in many of the spaces within the cabinet, much less the State Department.
Right.
Now they've got even more places to fill.
Right. And all of these, even though they're holding multiple hearings and then not holding certain hearings so that certain individuals can't go and talk about them, they, even though they're doing that, it's still a process and it's not going fast enough for the president. He's feeling like everything's being slowed down when he's been at work for 7 days.
Yeah, literally 7 days.
Literally 7 days.
You got 4 years, allegedly. Yeah. Well,
two.
Hopefully, maybe.
Two to get things done.
2 years to get things
right now,
really
he's
done.
He's got 18 months to get things done, because if you don't get them done within the next 18 months, the backlash of the number of people who are going to go against those individuals who wouldn't stand up. I mean, if you're in Paul Ryan's district voting for him, and he, I know he probably does great things for your district, but that's that what's in it for me attitude. But he's doing horrible things for the rest of the country. I mean, when the announcement was made about the wall, he had come out early on when Trump talked about the wall while he was being a candidate. He said that was the most ridiculous thing he's ever said. There's clip after clip after clip after clip after clip that says that.
Right.
And now he's up there saying, well, the wall sounds like a great idea. It's like, don't be a two-faced prick, all right?
No, but he established his two-facedness after publicly decrying how horrible of a candidate Trump would be and then backing him.
Oh, absolutely.
After he gets
nod. Yeah.
So this is Washington as it operates, and this, I feel, is an accepted aspect of the process.
Yeah.
But it's still not okay. It's not
something I'm going to
get behind. I'm not going to excuse.
No.
This is the problem with Washington as a process, as a community. This is why Donald Trump got elected.
It is. Absolutely.
So nobody has faith in the process. Nobody has faith in their elected officials, which is actually, funnily enough, the United States lost its status as a full democracy and is now a flawed democracy as a result of the lack of faith that the population has in its own electoral process and the elected officials.
Yeah, those of you that follow the page, and if you're not following the page and you're listening right now, please go through and like the page, OMR Podcast on Facebook. We've posted up various articles this week. I mean, there's so many of them this week.
We were filtering, and it still looked like spam.
Oh, it did. And I had so many people that were going, hey, here's another article. Hey, well, here's this article. And so I was putting many of them up, and so was the comrade. And so one of the things that we need to definitely talk about is, you know, this idea from, you know, that we're putting all this knowledge out there. And are we checking all of it? We're doing the best we can.
Honestly, it's really tough because
it's a flood.
Part of the issue, I would say, is that it's not even like a fake news issue. It's links like senior aide was registered to vote in two states.
Right.
This comes after Trump makes a statement that he is going to invest major funds into a huge voter fraud investigation nationwide,
saying that there were 5 million people.
Ironically, he's only targeting the states where Clinton won.
Correct.
So it's hardly a bipartisan
investigation.
So I'm going
to say this now, and comrade, please allow me to say it.
I'll give you a moment.
You won. Get over it.
No, he's still campaigning.
You won. Get over it.
One more time.
You won. Get over it. I've had so many people say to me, you know what? Stop doing this. You lost. Get over it. And right. I'm like, look, I'm not sitting here talking to you about this. It's trying to change the reality. You are. Because this individual who's been elected to the public office is still campaigning.
He knows how to do.
Yeah, do your work. Go to work. And going to work means more than executive orders. Okay, today he met with the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Theresa May.
Yeah, Theresa May.
Yep.
And at this time, we're doing the broadcast at like 9 o'clock. I haven't had a chance to take a look at all that information.
Exciting news. She decided not to cancel her meeting with Trump after seeing his tweets on Mexico. So,
well, yeah, but
strong foreign relations.
Strong foreign relations. Wait, did you just mention strong foreign relations with Mexico? We should probably go back
and revisit that.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah.
So getting back to the voters. So there's a lot of headlines that read sensationally.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, this thing. But if you actually read the article and you read the sources that they link to directly in the article, what it says is, yes, he's voted in, yet he's registered to vote in two states,
right?
Sarasota, Florida, and New York City.
Right.
He voted by absentee ballot in New York City and did not vote in Sarasota.
Correct.
So That's perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that Trump is getting on about people registered to vote in multiple states and committing voter fraud. Yeah. And allegedly, 3-ish million illegal immigrants also submitting votes.
See, again, and when pressed, and this was during his interview on ABC, I read over the transcript. I did not watch the interview, and I like a lot of people who are like, well, why don't you watch the interviews? You know, it just takes an hour. I'm like, I'd rather read it and not listen to him talk.
It's the hands.
It's the hands. It's the, you know, and this, and it's like, oh, it's just terrible. I hate it. It drives me crazy.
If you're listening, so, we're miming.
Yeah, we're miming. Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. We're both live on Facebook.
Multimedia.
And different media. So yeah, so it drives me crazy when that happens. I mean, when you look at the video just caught up. But if you look at, like you said, we got downgraded from being a full democracy. There are very few countries that were full democracies, and we were one of them.
There were 20 total,
yeah.
And now there's 19.
Now there's 19. We're not one. And now we're just as good as Poland and Italy. Italy, people. Italy.
There's 43% of the world's governments are listed as a flawed democracy, which means we're probably somewhere close to a lot of African developing nations in terms of our trusted system of government.
Well, I figure that when he gets elected, if he reaches the end of his term and doesn't get impeached, or resign because he's bored. I'm bored with this. I don't have to do it. I mean, really, think about it for a second. He's a billionaire. He doesn't... Well,
right.
He's supposedly a billionaire. I haven't seen his taxes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So he's a billionaire. So for him, why would you do this? I'm bored. I'm out. I'm going to go.
He won. He proved he could win.
He
proved that a non-politician can succeed in politics. And
right.
I'm worried that that's as far as he was willing to take it.
Yeah, because the things that he's doing, the things that he signed are just rescinding a bunch of things, making campaign promises real. And rescinding things that exist now that his followers didn't like. And that's how he got elected.
Well, he's undoing things without a plan of action.
Correct.
Which sounds a lot like Iraq in 2002.
Yeah, it does. Oh,
that was an intense analogy.
Yeah. yeah, that's
so
pretty bad.
So another fun one that I saw during the week, according to Newsweek, a lot of Trump's senior staffers are using private email servers to communicate.
Why is it everybody up in arms about this right now? They're using private fucking servers. RNC servers. Republican National Committee motherfucking servers, people.
Revolutionary.
I'm sorry.
I understand, especially after the campaign. Now here's the fun bit, and this is why, as evidenced here, this is why fact-checking is very important. It sounds horrible. Fun fact, nothing about this is actually illegal.
No.
There's nothing wrong with this.
There was nothing illegal when Clinton did it.
It's actually required, according to the disclosure requirement for official business conducted using electronic messaging accounts, rolls off the tongue.
It does. If
you're having communications outside of your actual efforts within the campaign, if you're having political conversations outside of the campaign itself, you cannot do that on government servers.
Right.
So they have to use private email servers, which are actually run by the RNC,
right,
to communicate.
Right.
So this is normal. This is okay.
So
I don't know who's monitoring the server. I don't know where it's located. I can't speak for the safety and security of these emails, but
well, what about the safety and security of the phone that the president is carrying?
I couldn't speak for that either.
He's carrying an Android phone that's several generations behind modern generations.
So like 4.2?
It's like a Galaxy 3 or something. It's like old. Oh yeah. And
wait. This man has literally
billions of dollars.
He has golden crusted penthouse.
Yes.
And he doesn't have the latest.
Yeah,
and
supposedly
greatest
he doesn't have the latest and greatest phone.
What?
Yeah. So, and if you've been monitoring Twitter, there have been, up until very, very recently, the POTUS account, which was switched over to the current president, didn't even have two-factor authentication turned on.
Oh, that's right. It had a private Gmail
account
linked to
the Twitter. And that is a problem. So, and then you looked at it, it's like, oh, and now here's another one with whitehouse.gov attached to it. But the point is that these people who are elected into office know very little about technology. Even the president himself said, you know, my son knows more about technology than me, and his son is 10.
I feel like this is the state of law in this country. Unfortunately, we have laws written for fax machines and pay phones and rotary dials
and UUnet. Yeah.
Yet we don't have laws, unfortunately, and this is the nature of bureaucracy, which is actually a positive in this case, but it hurts us in some instances.
Yeah.
The bureaucracy cannot work fast enough to interpret laws and apply them correctly to new technologies.
Right.
Which keep coming out every day.
Yeah. 18 months to 24 months, we have a major paradigm shift in technology in this country.
Well, let's look at the Fourth Amendment, unlawful search and seizure.
Right.
The ownership of an email, which is on many different servers. Like, that's just a wonderful example of how dated our laws are. And interpretation requires a judge that is actually rather liberal in their interpretation of the law, but conservative in their understanding of the intent of the law, which is good luck finding a new Supreme Court justice that can do these things. Ugh,
it's going to be interesting to see who gets nominated.
I can't
nominated
wait
for that.
Until we see the nominee for that one.
All right, so...
On a more positive note.
More positive notes.
The Women's March.
Oh, the Women's March was amazing. Oh, pink hats with ears on them. I love every one of you.
You're amazing. There were estimated 3 million people across the country. I can't even believe. My favorite aspect of that, 3 million people marched, zero arrests.
Yep, no arrests. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's so incredible.
And it's funny because the hats that, you know, these pink hats that were being given out that look like cats, you know, and there were a lot of signs that said, you know, go ahead and grab this. You know, it was really...
I like how you're censoring it, but NPR didn't earlier.
I know. Isn't that wonderful?
It's so wonderful.
Yeah. Because NPR are a bunch of pussies. So the important part is that they, you know, a lot of people were handing out the hats. There were people going, hey, I could buy that hat for you. And they're like, hey, I have extras here.
Right,
I mean, it was wonderful.
It's a community. It was people coming together in solidarity, taking action, expressing their voice.
Yeah, and it happened on all seven continents.
Around 637 unique protests.
Yeah,
worldwide.
Yeah, the largest ones were New York, L.A., and Washington.
Orlando
had a huge one.
How many people was it? It was over 100,000, I believe.
Yeah.
Marched in Orlando.
Yeah,
amazing. So amazing. Now, unfortunately, the zealots had to have their say.
Of course.
And they all targeted one Linda Sarsour. I probably said her name wrong, and I apologize.
Right.
Okay. Sarsour, I'm guessing?
Sarsour,
probably. Sarsour, yeah. So there were a lot of reports from conservative blogs and right-wing pseudo-news sites.
Yeah.
No real... publications actually touched this story, but I wanted to address it because it was on social media and it was a significant presence. There were a lot of reports that Sarsour was in league with Sharia law supporters, that she is anti-Semitic and that she has strong connections to Hamas.
Hmm.
Now, all of these allegations come basically from two sources. A picture that she took with somebody who is a supporter of Hamas in Chicago that earlier in 2016. So this is very recently.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the fact that they're probably just known either by association within 6 degrees.
Of course.
You know, there's a God forbid they have a religious connection and have a community through their faith.
Right.
Like, you know. Catholics,
sure.
Or any other major religion,
yeah. So they're not the boogeyman.
So she took this picture in Chicago recently, and a lot of people hopped on that, saying that just because she was in a picture with somebody, she was in league with this man and his beliefs and his faiths.
Yeah.
Now, according to Snopes, the New York Times actually interviewed her in 2008, where she stated, "quote She denies having any conduct with Hamas other than radical Muslim groups." With Hamas or other radical Muslim groups. Otherwise, she never would have received the Champion of Change Award from President Obama some months ago.
Right.
So she's addressed these concerns before. Yeah. She's familiar with them.
But she's Islamic and the zealots.
She has a faith and she has a voice.
I mean, if she were a Catholic, this wouldn't be a problem.
No, but if she didn't wear...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Wait, that's wrong. If she was a Catholic, they'd say that the Pope was controlling her.
That's right.
I'm sorry. If she was a fundamentalist Christian...
Oh, very good.
There you go.
Yes.
Then everything would be fine.
Then everything would be fine.
If she was a Jew, this wouldn't be good. If she's from, you know, she's a Muslim, so it's not good. But
she has faith. She has a specific faith.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful.
It's great. I wish I had more of a faith.
She made a number of tweets in 2014 and 2015 regarding Sharia law that also brought up a number of concerns from these same people. I'm going to read a couple of these quotes, these tweets that she actually made herself. I have links to this. I can post them. It's public knowledge. It's on Twitter. Quote, I don't drink alcohol, don't eat pork. I follow Islamic way of living. That's all Sharia law is.
Yep.
Quote, so, if only my fellow liberals understood what Sharia law actually is, shake my head.
Yeah.
Quote, Sharia law is misunderstood and has been pushed as some evil Muslim agenda. Some Muslims are oppressors for sure.
Yeah.
Quote, you know, you'll know when you're living under Sharia law if suddenly all your loans and credit cards become interest-free. Right. Sounds nice, doesn't it? So,
yeah. Yeah, Sharia law has some interesting things. So Sharia law contains all of those things. It's basically like being kosher. That's the first one.
It's very similar to Old Testament followings.
Old Testament followings. It really is. You know, some of the radicalized treatments of women within some of these things. Yes, they're bad. You know, for a Western eye.
For the progressive mindset.
Yeah.
I believe, regardless of your religion.
Yeah.
There will always be hangups.
Sure.
And I cannot fault anybody for their faith. I don't care what your motivation is for being a good person. If it makes you a good person, by all means, do so.
Absolutely.
But the moment it affects somebody else's rights and freedoms, I have problems.
Right.
So, and that's not what she's proposing here.
She's saying that I do these things.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone has to do those
things. It's her lifestyle. It's like people who decide to do a low-carb, high-fat diet.
We know some of those people.
We know some of these people, and we love you. I will never, ever be able to follow that diet, but it seems to work for you, so
bread good.
Power to you.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle choice, honestly. In the end, it's the simplest way to look at it without getting angry. She didn't do anything evil. She's not a proponent of oppressing women, clearly. She's a very outspoken woman in the Western world.
Right.
There are people in the Middle East, there are bloggers who are strong Islamic faith traditionalists who hate her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They cannot stand that she even associates with the idea of being Islamic.
Yeah.
So that tells you a bit of where she actually stands on the spectrum.
Are those people in the bad countries?
Do you mean the ones we no longer accept
immigrants
refugees from?
Yeah, no refugees from the bad countries. Of course, I have a problem with the definition of these bad countries. So during a speech that was given yesterday or the day before, the president stated that these were bad people in bad countries and they weren't going to accept them. They were they were people who were in countries directly related to the San Bernardino shooting.
No. Islamic countries.
Islamic countries, right. Islamic countries. He specified Islamic countries.
Islamic countries.
Yeah, that were directly responsible for things like the San Bernardino shooting and 9/11. And oddly enough, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia aren't on the list.
Oh, Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Anywhere he has a hotel, right?
Business ties.
Business ties. Business that's ties. What it is. How is this man not up on an emollient charge at all? I mean,
well, I already know that there are two prominent lawyers who are actually pursuing a suit. Unfortunately, I don't have the source
fine.
Or the information
fine.
Or the names.
Yeah.
But I do know they did an interview on NPR back on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That they are pursuing a suit against him for these very issues.
That's NPR, National Progressive Radio, right?
That's the one. The government-funded one.
Yeah.
Who's signing those checks now?
No one soon.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're planning on closing that one down.
Neil deGrasse Tyson had a fun little one on that. How did it go? Stopping the funding for public broadcasting to balance your budget is like saving hard drive space by deleting text
files. Yep. It's ridiculous.
Poetry.
It's just so little. It's like 0.0003%. I mean, the wall itself, and I'm going to go back to that wall every single time.
We have an estimate on the cost to build it, by the way.
Yeah, it's NASA's budget.
It's $12 to $15 billion.
It's NASA's budget,
right.
Or NASA's
most of
NASA's budget. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know. But we can't clean up Flint, which is what $33 million, some number like that.
Is that all it is?
It's some small number compared to $20 billion. It's some ridiculously small number. I saw it go by. I can't remember what it was, but it was definitely not even $1 billion.
I feel bad that I haven't done my research on Flint. It's unfortunately a thing that's so far removed from me that I feel like...
Well, it's funny because I used to watch Larry Wilmore on the nightly show. And the Larry Wilmore nightly show disappeared completely before the election. And he was hypercritical on the current president, hypercritical on the conservatives, and hypercritical on a lot of different associations that were there. And to me... Oh, it's $55 million for Flint. Thank you, David.
This is why we love you guys.
You can fact check for us. So $55 million. But he did a lot on Flint, and he says it's not going to cost the amount of. I mean, $55 million compared to $1 billion.
Right.
I mean, $1 billion is $1,000 million. That's 55. That's peanuts.
You know
compared.
What? You know what? Let's do one better. We're already cutting funding to sanctuary cities.
Oh, okay.
Why not repurpose those funds for Flint and other cities with critical infrastructure needs?
Well, there's an idea. Yeah. Why don't we again? But we're giving solutions. We're looking at positive ways to solve problems, and this is not part of that zealot. What's in it for me? Or regret it? Or regretter's problem on this whole part. That's actually trying to do something. That's a progressive agenda, comrade. That's a progressive agenda. Trying to solve problems.
It's funny that sounds like a dirty word.
Doesn't it?
Why is solving a problem a dirty word?
Because it takes away jobs. I've had people... Yeah.
But the effort to solve the problem involves new jobs.
But then the thing is that it removes a lot of the thing. Like, if we got rid of insurance. Oh, no. Hey, I'll take a better one. I saw a beautiful video about the way that you file your taxes in Great Britain.
Oh.
Did you see this one?
No.
Oh, I'll try and find it and share it. It literally, because the government knows... Because the companies you work for file your how much they take out of your taxes,
okay,
or how much taxes you owe.
Right.
You basically, the government tells you, you owe this much. And you can do it on your mobile phone.
Yeah.
And it's like getting a receipt. It's like, I owe this much. You hit a button and it's paid.
So I know a number of people in my life who would argue that the federal government could not possibly be able to do that accurately for 350 million people.
But... they already do it because you get your W-2s. Your W-2s from
but
all of
W-2s
your employees.
W-2s are not from the government. They're from the employer.
But the employer files one directly to the government. That's right. The other half of the W-2. The government knows how much
Stop
you make.
Stop it with your streamlining and making sense.
But But there's an entire industry. The entire industry of accounting, tax accounting, and finding loopholes people
right.
are out there solely well, because
so tax code is a thorny issue that we should handle.
Oh,
we'll
episode. Take that another time.
We need
tax
to.
Code, we do because one of the campaign promises was reform of that tax code
yes.
to make it better for all
for the middle
of
class.
His people.
All of his people is always. He never did say middle class.
He never said middle
he?
Class.
No, he didn't.
No, he never. I don't think he's ever mentioned middle class.
I don't think he knows that there is a middle class or what that means.
Well, when you've always been where you are. Let's not do that.
Let's be fair.
Yeah.
Okay. So one last thing I want to hit on. We're getting kind of long on this one. There's just so much.
We're like 5 minutes over.
Mexico.
Wait, you said Mexico. Grab the bottle.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll do this again. Yeah.
I don't know what's left of it.
That's okay. There's plenty left. All right. So Mexico. What was up with Mexico?
Donald Trump has attempted, I apologize, President Trump has attempted his first major international negotiation. He has promised via executive order that we will build a wall.
A wall.
And that the Mexican government is going to pay for this wall.
No, he didn't say that.
He said Mexico will pay for it.
Eventually.
Well, I was getting to that.
Oh, okay. So you'll get to that. Okay, go ahead.
So Donald Trump promised in his campaign
right.
that Mexico would pay for this $15 billion wall. He wants to build it. It's a promise he made.
Right.
Now, he is not your classic politician, so that means he's actually going to follow through on his promises.
Correct.
So he's building a wall. The issue is we don't have $12 billion in a check from the state from the government of Mexico.
I've heard numbers from $15 to $20 billion.
It depends.
And that's a huge number. When you say the difference between... 12
to 20
and
billion.
15 billion.
Right.
That's $3 billion.
I realize.
I mean, it's
that
ridiculous.
That is an astronomical
amount. That's
astronomical
amount of money. Yeah, okay. So go ahead. So he will get this money somehow.
So what he's done is he's committed my money.
Yes.
And your money.
Yep.
And everyone's listening. Your money has now been devoted
right.
to building this wall.
So hold on. 300. Well, so let's take the conservative estimate.
Let's say 350 million people.
12 billion. That's 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Calculators don't go that far.
I can't get 120 billion.
Use Chrome.
I'll use Chrome. Okay.
So while he's doing that, what's happened now is Trump has attempted to use the United States trade leverage with Mexico as a bargaining chip to get President Nieto to come up here to the United States and bargain with us on trade deals so that we can make up that difference in money.
Right.
Before I continue, what do we have?
So it looks like 12 billion divided by 330 million is $36.36.
Okay, so you and I are devoting apparently $37 to the government in...
I would think it would be more than that.
You would think it'd be higher, but we are considering non-tax-paying citizens in that number.
Oh, that's right. So we have and children, you got to cut that in half.
Cut that in
half. So it'd be double that. So it'd be...
So let's say $80 a person.
Sure, $80 a person.
All right. Yeah. Cheers. That's a good bottle of tequila.
That is, yes. Cheers. That is a good bottle of tequila. Cheers. All right.
So...
So seven
for the cost of a good bottle of tequila.
Yeah,
Donald Trump is committing our own money to building this wall.
Right.
President Nieto decided that he's had enough of listening to Donald Trump belittle and insult Mexico.
Right.
Who, by the way, is a giant economic factor in this hemisphere.
Aren't they like the 12th largest economy? 15th.
They are the world's 15th largest economy. They are the easiest trading partner we have in the entire world, except for our neighbors to the north. Love you, Canada.
Thank you, Canada.
The President Nieto said, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
I'm not dealing with this. I'm not talking to you.
Right.
So Donald Trump, who is a world-renowned negotiator in his own mind.
Of course.
Didn't even get a chance to get to the negotiating table for his first real deal.
No, there's no deal going to be made.
I was reading on Reddit earlier, and I apologize because I can't credit the commenter for saying this, but how is he going to handle international deals where it's not on easy mode?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, where they're coming to him because they need him
in
the deal.
We already have a trade partnership.
Right.
You can't lose here. I mean, I was doing a little bit of brainstorming earlier on this one, right?
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal said, and I quote, the Wall Street Journal said this, Donald Trump's dealings with President Nieto, quote, are amateur hour. Continuing, quote, with a population of 128 million people, Mexico is America's second largest export market for goods. Some 6 million U.S. jobs depend on trade with Mexico.
Whoa. 6 million jobs.
6 million. That is more than one-fifth of the jobs that President Trump has promised us.
Right.
By the way.
Right.
Just maintaining these jobs. We're not talking new jobs. We're talking saving the 6 million that already exist.
So we screw over Mexico, and he has an additional third that he has to work on.
Correct. Now we have 31 million instead of 25 million jobs to create.
Okay.
So I say this. If President Trump is serious about creating these new American jobs, about saving jobs here in America, he is going to prioritize an equitable trade deal with Mexico.
Right.
He's going to work directly with Nieto, hand in hand, to find a solution for these people who are crossing the border illegally. It's a problem. It absolutely is. It's not a race issue. It's about the sovereignty of a nation.
Right.
The humanitarian concerns notwithstanding, we do need to find a way to keep people from coming to this country illegally. So he's going to have to work with...
Yeah.
We can't just build a wall.
We have to
work with the country where these people are coming from to find a solution.
Yeah, the majority of people that come to this country illegally come here and they just overstay their visas.
They come here perfectly legally.
They come here legally working for someone else. They're overstaying their visas. That's what happens.
Right.
It's not people that are just swimming across the Rio Grande and coming over here and getting and becoming and picking fruit.
Working.
Doing the jobs.
Doing the jobs you and I don't want to do.
Yeah.
I love these people for their bootstrap mentality, literally following the American dream the way it was originally intended.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
They are.
Now the issue is, I was listening to This American Life on the way here, actually. They were interviewing some people from El Salvador.
I like their measured tones.
I love the way they speak.
So we work here at This American Life, and we're going to be doing this today. And it's like, and I always go, it's like, all right, come on, man. Just get to the point.
I'm driving.
You need to keep me awake. I'm not doing, please.
But they were interviewing a couple of teenagers from El Salvador. And they were talking about how a lot of people, when they come here illegally.
Yep.
They cross the border illegally. They're met by Border Patrol. Border Patrol registers them.
Yep.
These people are coached on saying specific things to be given asylum.
Right.
Asylum proceedings, on average, take 6 years. That's not days.
No.
That's not weeks. That's not months. 6 years to actually get your hearing because they're so backed up.
And that's why the president created 5,000 new Border Patrol jobs. No,
that's the catch and release.
No, that's the That's the problem.
Right.
Just by having 5,000 more people interviewing people actually makes it a bigger problem.
Right? I'm getting there.
Yeah. makes it a bigger problem.
So what happens in those 6 years is we don't have the facilities to just keep somebody camped up for 6 years. We tried that in the 1940s.
Right.
That didn't go so hot.
That doesn't go so well with camps.
So instead, instead we allow them to roam the country for free.
Right.
Just go.
Yeah.
80% of these people don't actually show up for their hearing.
Sure.
They've already got lives.
Yep.
They've got jobs. They've got families. They've got kids. These things happen. It's
six
life. It's time.
Years.
6 years.
Years.
You want to solve the problem.
Right.
You want to solve the problem. You give Mexico an incentive for keeping people in their own country, maybe with jobs, maybe with, you know, industry, trade.
But we're going to pull all those jobs that of American companies that have moved down to Mexico back to the United States, right?
Well,
isn't
yes.
Isn't that the plan?
Well, it is.
Well, then.
It is the plan. But here's the fun part.
And we're going to get
things,
rid of NAFTA, too,
none of these things happen in 2 days.
Oh.
So, if we're going for a proper solution, we need patience and we need time. Mexico, I feel, could be an incredible asset for protecting our own borders by being the filter.
Yeah.
Because it's not just people from Mexico.
No, people are coming
it's
up from
South
Guatemala
America and Central America.
Yeah, Central America. They're all coming up straight. Because it's easier to drive a bus through Mexico than
it's
it is
way
to,
cheaper.
And cheaper and, than taking a plane.
Yeah, to Canada and coming down. It's,
yeah.
It's so much cheaper to just walk and take a bus.
And we are looking at you, Canada. They fly to Canada and they come back down. We know this happens.
The rich ones, but we like them because
we
they
like
invest.
The rich ones. They do invest. But still... But they are coming from Canada because you guys let them come back through.
That's right.
So
that's
your fault.
And unfortunately, all of this is an incredibly complex issue. So we can't say, you know, yay or nay, all of it's one deal.
Right.
The people that are already here have established lives.
Cool.
We can't, in a humane way, kick them out. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen in a humane fashion. We can do it.
We can do it.
We have the police force. We have a military force that
oh,
is absolutely.
Sure.
We can just go house to house, search, and, you know, stop and search. We can be super profile, super racist. We
can
do it.
So hold on, let me think about this. So someone will knock on my door.
Mm.
Say, we'll go. Would you like to see your papers?
Yes.
Could we see your
that's,
papers?
That's exactly what we're talking about here, and I'm sure that's never happened before in the past.
I can't think of another country where that happened, where they rounded up people by asking them to see their papers, and then maybe gave them an identifying. You know, symbol, and then took them to places to detain them while they were waiting to put them somewhere
like
else.
Camps.
Like I don't think they were. I don't think they were camping, but they were there concentrating on something.
They were indeed.
And they were indeed.
So,
I'm so mean.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a very slippery slope. That's and, why I have the problem. That's why I have the biggest problem with it. I mean, people yell at me because I'm so progressive, but the idea is that if you go door to door. There are going to people. What do? You look at the documents. Oh, the documents say this. Well, guess what, people? Digital documents are really easy to fake. Okay? And some of these people are paying taxes on fake documents.
Right.
So you're getting taxes from fake people. You're fine. Everything's good. Everything's awesome.
Anecdotally, a very good friend of mine has in-laws that are all undocumented immigrants.
Sure.
They're in a city working, paying taxes.
Sure.
And every time that city has a demonstration for illegal immigrants, they go.
Yeah.
In the hopes of getting arrested so their process gets streamlined.
Yeah.
That's how screwed up the system is.
Yep.
Illegal immigration is a problem, but the problem is a symptom, unfortunately, of a screwed up process.
Absolutely.
And this is a country of immigrants. I want them to come. Guess what immigrants bring? Jobs.
Yep.
Business opportunity.
New
ideas.
Hey, look at that. We didn't even practice that one. They
that
do bring new ideas. Yeah, they do bring new ideas every single time.
And they come from other cultures where their influences are different. They bring things to the table we wouldn't have otherwise.
America is the stew that it is because of the people that have come in the past.
So bring them on.
Bring them.
But let it be legal. Yeah. Let them be properly vetted.
Sure. I mean, if
and
all...
let this country
if
be
all of this is just a...
Oh, I almost did it.
What's that?
I said, let this country be great.
Oh, you did. I'm going to get you a red hat. I'm going to get you one of them hats.
Don't do it.
I'm going to get it for
we'll
you.
We'll burn it.
No, no. I'm
we'll
not going to
burn it live on Facebook.
No, no. That's not right. That's like burning. I mean, you know how many people would protest? Huh. That's a good idea.
It's not an American flag.
So if you want to send us Make America Great hat.
Or 10.
So we can have a small bonfire. Let me know. And just, you know, you guys can get a hold of us on the page and send us some hats. and we'll burn them live on Facebook, and I guarantee you that will be something that goes viral.
That will be a good time.
Yeah. All right. So I agree that the wall isn't the way to do it. It's too expensive. It's, I mean, just the logistics of building this wall are insane. Eminent domain has to kick in to buy land. You know, I'm sure that there are companies out there that have already bought up the land so that they can make a killing. Even if it's only a few points above what it's worth, it's still going to be a killing.
It is. And you know? I don't...
it's also through mountains, over rivers.
I don't want to be another Korea.
Yeah, right.
Let's be honest. Sure. If we built this wall, we would be the new Korea.
But we're only building it on one side. If you want to build a wall, Mr. President, if you want to build a wall, build it across Canada, build it across the Rio Grande and across the southwest of the United States. And I want attack choppers and Coast Guard cutters. I want all kinds of things to isolate us as much as we can if you want to do it.
So let's be fair. Let's be fair. Okay. We have standing armies
around the world. We do.
If we're coming out of NATO.
Yeah.
We don't need to build a wall. We just need to put our active military on the border.
There you go.
Are you kidding me?
That's right.
Tanks.
Oh.
APVs.
Wow, we got
attack choppers.
That's fantastic.
Just repurpose our DOD. Forget the rest of the world. Forget our trade deals. Forget the fact that we sell things to every other country and maintain a large amount of world order by just being there.
But if you want to be isolationist, which is the word that I keep hearing from the BBC, from Al Jazeera. Yes, I listen to Al Jazeera. From other different cultures, we're being isolationist. The idea of building a wall is the most isolationist thing you can do. We are
my favorite thing America. About walls.
Yeah,
my favorite thing about walls.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the time, they're built to keep people in.
They are. I mean, the Exodus.
Let's look at Berlin.
That's true. That's true. I mean,
let's
East
look
and
at
West
the ghettos
Berlin.
In Poland and Germany.
Yeah, they all had walls around them. So yeah, so let's not build walls. And now here's the other problem. He can say that he wants to build a wall. It could take 4 to 7 years for them to get everyone together to build it. And by that time,
he might not be our president.
He may not be. So what ends up happening with those plans? Like all federal things.
Scrapped.
They get scrapped with all the money that was there. So the planning of it goes to the construction companies, all of the other things. So
you raise an interesting point. Because who writes the budget?
Yeah.
Our elected officials in Congress.
Right.
Who can slow this process down?
Our elected officials in Congress.
And we can make our voices heard with a simple phone call.
Sure.
I don't care if you have a Democrat or Republican representing you in Congress. Democrats can filibuster.
Sure.
We can slow this whole thing to a crawl, just like the Republicans did for Obama.
Right.
He managed to get the ACA passed.
He did.
So
in the form that the insurance companies wanted, but sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Things can be done.
They can.
But we can get in the way.
Yes.
We can stop these bad things from happening. And I think we can, by his nature of populism, we can encourage some level of compromise and actually get some things done.
Sure.
So there's an idea.
So contact your representatives. Tell them that this wall is unnecessary. Tell them that you don't want them. You don't really support the current picks for various
cabinet members
because
Betsy
a lot.
DeVos.
Betsy DeVos. I got in an argument online today about Betsy DeVos.
Is it even really worth your time?
It really. You know, the funny part is I've gotten in a lot of arguments online lately to the point where I don't even want to engage the zealots anymore. And I'm finding out who the zealots are, and you know who you are. Yes, you are still on my friend list. I'm not going to defriend you because you're a zealot. I'm not that person. I'm the person who'll sit there and be the fly in the ointment, and you'll defriend me. I don't mind. I'm trying to progressively open your mind up, and you want to conservatively close mine down. So I understand that. But Betsy DeVos, someone posted up, a father of a friend of mine posted up, hey, you know, this article says that Betsy DeVos is fine. And it turns out, guess what? It was written by a 20-year-long friend of hers that's only written 4 articles online, and all of them happen to be about people that they know.
But the headline made them feel good about their opinion,
right?
Which makes it a solid journalistic source.
Correct. Correct.
Facts.
Facts.
Or
versus the narrative.
Narrative, thank you.
Yeah, facts versus the
facts
narrative.
Facts or narrative.
And that's the problem that we're going to have to fight against for this entire administration. So
I keep saying this. I will continue to say this. It is the thing that I think can help change our country and change the world.
Yeah.
Stay informed. Be a smart consumer of content. Fact check.
Everything.
Or double check. Even if it's something we post.
Right.
Double check it.
Call us on it.
Read the sources. If we're wrong, if you think the headline's sensationalist, let us know. I want to know. I want to know that a source we use is not. I've hidden all BuzzFeed for my entire Facebook feed. BuzzFeed is not a news source. I will not give them the honor of a click. My clicks are too valuable. I'm reading real news.
Right.
Do the same.
Right.
If you think that a news source is totally invalid, hide them. Don't give them clicks. Fight with your dollars.
That's right.
Even if it is indirect.
I just want to touch on this point. Judith, I will definitely read this one because I read this report. I actually used this report from Pew Research to defend my position the other day against someone who used a report from an organization that was, let's just say, a hate group, according to the Hague. The reference says more Mexican immigrants have returned to Mexico from the U.S. than have migrated here since the end of the Great Recession, according to the Pew Research. And that's absolutely correct. We are at a low since 2009. 2009 was the peak, and more people have left since that peak. That's the Great Recession.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And more people have left. So that's absolutely correct. And so whenever you hear these people who are rattling the sword saying, oh, get rid of Mexicans, get rid of Mexicans, get rid of Mexicans, it's not about the Mexicans. It's not a problem. Actually, during the Obama administration, and I'm going to say it, immigration almost stopped to this country.
We're net zero.
Nearly. We were at net zero. The number of people who left and the number of people who came in was the same number.
And honestly, I would say that's nearly perfect.
That is the way it should be.
It's nearly perfect.
I mean, if you have people emigrating and people leaving, people enjoying coming here and working and then adding to our great culture and then going back home.
And exporting the things that
they learned. I mean, it's a no-brainer on how this is supposed to work.
I read somewhere that the United States...
Thank you, Judith. I appreciate that so much.
Thank you, Judith. You're wonderful. I read somewhere that the United States' greatest export isn't a product.
Not one product.
It's ideas.
Yep.
It's the talent. It's the knowledge. It's the skills that people can develop here and then take elsewhere. And when you look at what it... Like, consider the fact that the entire world... is hinged on what happens to our politics right now.
Yeah.
The entire world. I can't even fathom what that must be like to be another country.
Yeah.
Say Middle Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
That's looking at us going, holy crap, if NATO ends tomorrow, Russia might just invade.
Oh, absolutely.
How terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Look at Syria.
Yeah.
Look at the crisis Syria has been in. And consider the fact that developed countries could be reduced to that crisis because of a tweet.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
And that's something we have to do. Now,
should we wrap up?
We should probably wrap up.
We should wrap up.
It's been a great podcast. I mean,
this has been amazing.
It's been great. And so I want to remind everybody to make sure you like and share. This podcast will be up. Please feel free to give people the link to this podcast. We're in iTunes. We're on Google Play. If you look up One Man Revolution, it's been around since 2005. It does show up just about everywhere.
You'll find us.
It's not that hard to find. It is on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. It's everywhere.
We appreciate your subscriptions. We appreciate your likes.
Absolutely.
This community is incredible. We've had hundreds of people check in with this video. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You're blowing me away
with
the amount of exposure that we're already getting. Thank you all so much.
And thanks so much. And I just want to tell you that revolution starts with one man.
And sometimes expands.